Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. He shall call his name Emmanuel. Tonight is a night of age-old promises. These promises are never forgotten, and these promises never die. These promises are never reneged on, and these promises are never lost to the lips and the mind of the author who spoke them, who wrote them down by prophets of old so many years ago. The tender stem, the promise lying in dormant for countless ages, finally springs forth tonight in a little town of Bethlehem, when the entire world had forgotten that the seed of the Virgin would restore all things back to its natal origin. The night was half spent, chilled and cold by the thorny hearts of men. The night was half spent in years of misery and misfortune, tragedy and scandal. Yet even when the night was fully spent in sin and in death, captivity and imprisonment, the Lord still remembered his covenant. 700 years before this promise would bloom, Isaiah 'twas foretold it. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Tonight is also a night of broken promises. Tonight is a night that we often remember most vividly and we bear most fully in heart and mind, the broken promises of our lips and the aftermath of the destruction and the disgrace it brings into our lives. Of all the good intentions that we had that once burned as a raging fire, but are simply now faint embers that smolder in a grave. For you had promised years ago to call your estranged mother or father, son or daughter, brother or sister. You had promised years ago that you would stay wedded to your husband or wife until death ended your one flesh life. You had promised years ago perhaps to get a better job, make more money, get ahead and not tread these uncertain economic seas. You had promised years ago to straighten up your life and be a better influence in your child's life. You had promised years ago that not only would you bring your children to the font of holy baptism, but also to the feet of Jesus, and then finally to his altar of his sin-forgiving meal. Young and old, we all promised so much. Young and old, we promised so much. And yet all our promises died in our breath, in our laziness, in our sin, in our death, in the despair that no matter what we did, it seemed by the devil's tongue that we weren't getting anywhere. So we gave up. And the church was complicit in this to a certain extent, as it was wrong to call you promise keepers, for what a misguided teaching that is. For if Christmas Eve tells us anything, according to the law, is that it's a stark reminder that you remain children of Adam and Eve. Now this may lead you to think or ponder that you don't matter, and that there are better persons, better husbands and wives, fathers and mothers, children and friends, fit for the callings with which God has called you into. And the law says, why, yes, there are. And the world says, of course there is. But neither the law nor the world knows of the gospel. of the promise that Isaiah foretold so long ago. For by grace, the Lord Himself has placed you into these vocations, whatever they may be, to believe and confess, to teach and to receive, to consume with your ears His word, and to with mouth eat His flesh and His blood for the forgiveness of sins. That medicine that holds you together and holds you and your neighbor together. For in the promise-filled word, you live as broken vessels by which the Lord takes you and takes care of His creation despite your feelings of inadequacy and uncertainty. Enter Joseph. Consider him tonight. Here was a just man, a righteous man, a devout man, who dearly loved his bride and who seemingly thought that she was cheating on the side. Not wanting to shame his beloved bride, he would send her quietly away by divorcing her. He would move on and he would love some other day. But no, the promise of the Lord called to Joseph through an angelic voice, "Do not send your wife away, Joseph, for your bride is the vessel of God's grace. She will bear a son. His name shall be Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins. He will save the human race." So by the promise, Joseph sees his young wife now with new eyes. He sees her as a gift, alit with reverential awe, with a trembling wonderment. For he is betrothed to the most blessed among all women, the Mother of God. Now consider the Virgin Mary. She is likely between the ages of 12 and 14 when she is told of her conception by the Holy Spirit. With Joseph by her side, she would travel many nights, cold and weary, with God inside. The Holy Father had His will and chosen her, grace upon grace, to carry His Holy Son, His plan of redeeming grace. And no doubt she is frightened by the load that she bears. In a world where rumors run and gossip grows like weeds, the world must have felt quite small and quite lonely, quite heartless and without peace. For it's one thing to give birth to a heathen child, but to give birth to the sinless Son of God as a teenager, no less, that's rough. No doubt fear and joy would kiss one another in that stable, that blessed night. And no doubt the Virgin's heart, perhaps beats within your own chest tonight, trembles with prayers beyond that little town of Bethlehem, here in the little town of West Bend. Do you wonder, O Lord, as you watch my life, that there's a wiser one that should have had my place? Someone more experienced, someone who knew better how to live this chess game that we call life. And yet you offer all that you have, your blood and your sweat and your tears, trusting that the Holy Father's promise, spoken so long ago, that all of your broken life is held together, is glued piece by piece in the mercy of this infant sign and son. You pray with the psalmist, "Draw near to my soul, redeem me, ransom me because of my enemies." You pray that this promised child would lighten your darkness and pour over you His holiness and cradle you in His love, even as you cradle those whom you love, even those now cradled in heaven above. Tonight is the night of promise, encased in that simple yet pregnant word, Emmanuel, God with us. For he is not merely with us as a sign or a symbol, a picture or a shoulder to cry on. He is far more than a sympathetic friend or an amazing, all-knowing and all-powerful God-man. He is not a sympathy card. He is the Christ, the Lord who saves. He is with you, for he is you. He is your broken promises. He is your sin and death. He is you made flesh. For he sees not a stranger when he looks at you. He sees himself. He sees the wood of the manger and the wood of the cross cut from the same tree. A destiny of death finished by a triumphant and resurrected life. He waits for you. He even runs after you. For no matter how far you run, he claims you as his own through Mary's infant son. He knows the will of his Father. He knows that he will shed his blood on the cross, whereby he will seek out and save all who are lost. And this is his joy, that he finds you and he saves you. For we must be clear, Jesus is not the reason for the season. You are. He comes to save you, to season you with the salt of his grace and forgiveness, to be with you and to shower you with gifts of love. For he rejoices ever more than the earthly father who rejoices to see his children open up the gifts that he gives to them, that beams from your face when you rest finally in his flesh and blood grace. And so tonight, Isaiah, 700 years before, sees the promise fulfilled and smiles, for God is in Christ, with him even as he is with us tonight. He is, after all, Emmanuel, God with us. He is both God and man, born of the Virgin, yet still the Son of God in heaven. He is pleased to take on human flesh, and he who spoke heaven and earth into existence now speaks you righteous by a promise that he would come in a natural yet salvation way. Eternity is contained in his mortal life, even as mortal life is transfigured in his life that will become eternal life. This is the mystery of Christmas. This is the mystery of the incarnation, of Christmas Eve, that God descends to you and me and saves us from all of our iniquity. And it shall no longer be strange then for you to see Jesus heal diseases and feed multitudes and still the raging seas and wake the slumbering dead. For all sin and sadness, death and destruction fade away when you abide in the promised Emmanuel, God with us. So tonight is a night of promise, of present gifts and future reality. It's the night of our dear Savior's birth. The flickering candles, the chilly wind, and the rosy cheeks. Young and old wait in excited expectation of all the earthly gifts that lie wrapped beneath the tree. Yet even as we sit here, I pray excited by the heavenly gifts that are wrapped beneath the Christ Mass tree. For the voice of the promise still speaks to you from age to age. His voice is promise-filled peace to all the weary ones who struggle to see the light of Christ's birth amidst the darkness that covers their hurting bodies and their downcast souls, who fight to live each day within this earth. Like Isaiah, all of us are travelers, given a time, hearing a promise that rings from eternity, though time stands still. For the land that is given by the Christ child is immortal and eternal rest. For the years will come and the years will go. And at times we may forget by Satan's sleight of hand that the child once born in Bethlehem is with us now. But behold, from a lowly stable, in a little town comes the promise, the light of all eternity, the faithful Son of Israel, Emmanuel, God with us. For as this messenger, clothed in white, brings you tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us, Christ with you, for you, Christ in the nick of time, just when you thought that he had forgotten you. He is born for you, holding you together, lightening your darkness, and pouring over you his holiness by a promise that was spoken so long ago, a promise that never dies, a promise that lives in the word that you audibly heard. The Lord is always with you. He is Emmanuel. He is God with you. And this avails unto eternal life for you. In the name of Jesus, amen.